Okay, good morning. Thank you for joining the Mashiach Matters class. Today's class was sponsored by Yoram Cohen, and this is in honor of his birthday, which is going to be tomorrow on the 26th of Shvat. May Hashem give him a Shnas Bracha Natzlacha, a wonderful, wonderful good year with all the brachas, both in the material and in the spiritual. Abundance in everything, parnasa barachava, and only good. Thank you, Yoram, for always being so helpful. Thank you so much. I also want to dedicate the class to for Rafua Shalema, for Rafol Gershom Ben Leah. May he have a complete and total Rafua. Again, Rafol Gershom Ben Leah should have a complete Rafua Shalema. Okay. We are holding now in the story of the birth of Yitzchak in Parshas Vayera. And the birth of Yitzchak is very, 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 very Mashiachtig. Yitzchak is the Geula. Yitzchak is the redemption. Yitzchak is the life force behind the redemption. So this is in chapter Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. The Medrash actually tells us, there's an interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that, it's quoted from here, it's a Medrash called Pirka de Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It's a writings from Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Where it's to be found, Pirka de Rabbeinu HaKadosh, I don't know. But over there it says, Shiva Shemois Nikro Mashiach. Mashiach has seven names. Yitzchak is one of his names. Shenemar kol ha-shemeya Yitzchak li. Whoever hears will laugh to me. So you see that Yitzchak is the laughter, the ultimate laughter. Which is whoever, Sarah says, anybody that's going to hear is going to laugh. When is the world going to be filled with laughter? When Mashiach comes. That means that one of the names of Mashiach is Yitzchak. So the birth of Yitzchak is mamish, the birth of the Geula. We spoke about this in our last week's class, and that is that even though Yitzchak, on the other hand, has a face of harshness, Yitzchak is Gevura, which is the idea of all concealments. And when Yitzchak was born, the Galus begins. Galus Mitzrayim began when Yitzchak was born, which is the root. And we know that Egypt is the root of all the other Galias. But as we spoke last week, it's worth listening to last week's shir, that the redemption and the Geula, the Galus and the Geula are two sides of the same coin. The whole light of Mashiach could not come to the world without the redemption. Without the Galus, without the exile. So Yitzchak, who is the idea of Gevuras and concealments and block, and as a consequence of that, all the hardship of Galus, is really not Chas V'Shalom about the pain or the suffering. It's about the great laughter that comes after he's born, which is hinted to in the idea of Tzchoik Asali Elokim, that the name of Elokim, which is the name of hardship, the name of sometimes of suffering, is really the root of Tzchoik, of the ultimate laughter. So Yitzchak's birth is the birth of the final laughing that's going to be in the world when Mashiach comes, the Tainuk, the pleasure, the immeasurable and indescribable delight that's going to happen when all of humanity is going to be filled with everlasting laughter. And that's Yitzchak's birth. So these psukim, Hashem Pakad Asara, is related to the ultimate Geula. So here's interesting. The word Vahashem Pakad, now one more thing I do want to say is that in last week's class, I explained how come this coming of Mashiach, so to speak, and the birth of Yitzchak happens right over here at this point. So it's connecting. Last week we discussed the Hemshech and Yanim, the continuation of the ideas of the story of Avram Avinu with his Bris Milah, which is at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, leading into the saving of Lot and the story of Lot giving birth through his two daughters giving birth to Ammon and Moab, which father the Neshama, the great-great-grandmother of Mashiach. And now comes, and also the story of Sarah's abduction to Avimelech, how that is also part of the story. And finally now, we're up to the birth of Yitzchak, which is the birth of the light of Mashiach in the world. And even though at that time it lasted only for a day, then on the day that Yitzchak was born, and everybody was laughing, and there was such simcha and pleasure in the world, that was only a preview of the great laughter that's going to be when Mashiach comes. So if you want that connection, again, that was in last week's shiur, we explained the kishur ha-inyanim, the connection of all the inyanim as one follows into the next. But now we are holding by the actual birth of Yitzchak. And here there's some fascinating ideas, all related to the words that the Torah uses. In the birth of Yitzchak, it says, Vashem pakad es Sarah. That Hashem remembered Sarah. Kasher Omar, like he said, Vayas Hashem l'Sarah, and Hashem did to Sarah, Kasher Diber, like he had spoken. So simply it means, God remembered Sarah. Pakad is a lashon of Zechira, of remembrance. Hashem remembered Sarah, like he had said, meaning Hashem had promised Avram that he was going to give Avram a child, Avram and Sarah children, Tavka through Sarah. And Vayas Hashem l'Sarah, and Hashem did to Sarah Kasha Dibra. So we need to understand, however, the redundancy. The Pasuk says first, Vashem Pakad es Sarah, Hashem remembered Sarah, like he said, and then it says, Vayas Hashem l'Sarah, Hashem did to Sarah Kasha Dibra, like he spoke. It's repeating the same idea. I mean, he gave her a child. What is the idea of the double? Vashem Pakad and Vayas Hashem l'Sarah. The birth in Yitzchak, there's two in Yanim. There's Hashem Pakad es Sarah, and the other one is Vayas Hashem l'Sarah. The other difference is that by the word Pakad es Sarah, he remembered Sarah, it says Vahashem with a Vav, Vahashem and Hashem. And however, in the second time, when it says Hashem did for Sarah, it says Vayas Hashem, not Vahashem. So that's a second difference we need to understand. And also the difference of Omar and Diber, which we're not going to talk about today yet. But in any case, what is going on over here, Vashem Pakad es Sarah? So first, there is an interesting medrash. The word pakeid means to remember, but the Torah could have used the word Vashem Zachar as Sarah, that Hashem remembered Sarah, which is the more common word that is used for remembering. Zikaron, right? Zichronos, we say in Rosh Hashanah, we say the verses of remembrance, they're called Zikaron. And you find Zikaron in regards to a woman, a barren woman who doesn't have any children, you find that the Torah uses the word zikaron, remembrance. Like it says, Vayiskar Elokim es Rachel, that Hashem remembered Rachel. Vayiftach es Rachma, and he opened her womb. So you see clearly by Rachel that it mentions Zechira. However, by Sarah, the Pasuk doesn't say Zechira, the Pasuk says Pekida, which is also a remembrance. What is the significance of the Torah using Pekida? So the Medrash says like this, that whenever it says pakeid, it means after a very long time. Meaning, and those that didn't have to wait so long, by them it says vayiskar. You see, Rachel was not waiting. She wasn't 90 years old when she became pregnant. It took a little while till she had her child. Wait, how long was it? It was, you know, the others had, Leah had children immediately. And Yaakov, I think it was first, there was 7 years after he married her, and then another 6 years. So together was 7 and 6, about 13 years, I think. I hope I'm making the right cheshbon. But anyways, Rachel had a child. It wasn't such a long time. But Sarah waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And the Medrash says that every time it says Pekida, Pekida means after a very long time. Like, for example, when it comes to the Jewish people, by Mitzrayim, it says, Pakait Pekadati, I've remembered you. And that was after literal 210 years, but the Medrash actually says after 400 years, because again, as you mentioned earlier, the Galus really begins with the birth of Yitzchak. 400 years, that's when it's a Pakait, it's a remembrance. When your mamish feel forgotten, and then comes the Pekida. And how is it applied to Sarah? So the Medrash says, because a woman is fitting to give, she's capable of having a child when she's 12 years old. And Sarah did not give birth until she was 90 years old. So there was such a long duration of time. That's why it mentions that's why it says Pekida by Sarah. And that's what the Medrash concludes. There is a Pasuk. It says, Zachreini Hashem, remember me, Beritzayna Mecha, when you show goodwill to your nation, Pakdeni be Yeshua Secha. Remember me in your salvation. So Zachreini is talking about, you know, all the time Hashem remembers us, but the Pekida is referring to La'asid Lavai, in the future, in the end days. Pakdeni be Yeshua Secha, which is that's the idea of the Pekida, the remembrance at the end of days. So here you have Hashem Paka de Sara, that Hashem remembers Sarah after a long time. And that's one medrash. Then there's a medrash Tanchuma, where the medrash Tanchuma says, on these words, Vashem Paka de Sarah, something really, really fascinating. It brings a pasuk from Sefer Yeshaya, from the book of Isaiah. It says in Yeshaya like this, in Perek Memdalid Pasuk Chavav, make him devar avdoi, vatsas malachav yashlim. He upholds the word of his servant, and the advice, the counsel of his malachim, of his angels, yashlim, he completes. This is a pasuk. And then it continues, the pasuk, and it says, Oimel Yerushalayim toishav. The one who says to Jerusalem, toishav, it should be settled, ula'are Yehuda, and to the cities of Yehuda, tivaynina, that they should be rebuilt. Okay. Again, God, make him devar avdoi. He substantiates the word of his servants. Atzas malachav, and the counsel of his angels, yashlim, he completes. He says to Yerushalayim, it should be rebuilt, and to the cities of Yehuda, that it should be settled, and the cities of Yehuda should be rebuilt. So what is it the Medrash says? It's a Medrash Tanchum. When it says that Hashem establishes the word of his servant, who is Hashem's servant? That's Avram Avinu. So Hashem upholds his word. In what sense did Hashem uphold Avram's words? First of all, the Medrash proves that Avram is called my servant, as it says in the Pasuk, Ba'avur Avram Avdi. That Avram is called Hashem's servant. Okay? So when it says Hashem upholds the word of his servant, what does that mean? That means that Avram Avinu, what was the story that preceded the remembrance of Yitzchak? The story was that Avram davened for Avimelech. Avimelech gave Avram back his wife, but Avimelech was smitten, his family, with a terrible plague of a horrific constipation in which all their outlets were closed and clogged. And Avram Avinu davened for Avimelech. And as a result of Avram's tefillah, Hashem healed Avimelech. And then after that, Hashem pakad Sarah, Hashem remembered Sarah. So when it says in the pasuk, "Mekum dvar avdoi," he substantiates the word of his servant, means that Hashem listened to Avram's request in healing Avimelech. And then it says, "Vat," and as a result of that, what happened after that? The counsel of his angels, he completed. That is Malachim that came to visit Avram and Sarah just a little while before, a year earlier, and they promised Sarah that she's going to have a child. So after Hashem listened to the word of his servant by healing Avimelech, he also completed the counsel of his angels, which means Sarah had a baby. But here is the beautiful conclusion of the Medrash. What does the pasuk continue? He says to Yerushalayim it should be built, and to the cities of, I'm sorry, he says Yerushalayim should be settled, and the cities of Yehuda should be rebuilt. What does that mean? So the Medrash says like this, Kishem shenisyasha mimenu ha'umais. Just like the nations of the world gave up already, they were in despair, meaning they gave up already on Sarah. When people heard that Sarah was going to have a baby, they didn't believe it anymore, and they said, nah, it's never going to happen. Because they were sure, Shaloi Nivnes, she's already 90 years old, there's no way she's going to have a baby. So people heard that Hashem promised Avram they're going to have children. And everybody was saying, Baba Mises, it wasn't going to happen anymore. Just like what happened over there, they gave up Shaloi Nivnes, that Sarah was not built. V'hitibana. And in the end, V'hi Nivnes, in the end, she was built up to have a child. So in the same way, the world has given up on Jerusalem. The world has given up on the cities of Yehuda, saying it's never going to be rebuilt. And we have seen it with our eyes already, how Yerushalayim and the cities of Yehuda were rebuilt. So in Temeyamatim, if you're going to wonder and you're going to say, how is that? How is it possible, Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, and in the land of Israel? is laying in desolation, lying in desolation for so many years. So therefore, habitu al Avram avichem. Look to your fathers, Avram, vel Sarah techayil aleichem, and to Sarah, the ones, your foundation, keshem shasisi la Avram ula Sarah, just like I have done to Avram and Sarah, that they didn't already, it was already a point of giving up on all hope, yet I came through for them at the very, very end, kach esed Yerushalayim, so I will do to Yerushalayim. That Hashem promises us, even if we have already, for all Yidden, even though we've had the Besuras HaGeula, the promise of the redemption, was given already in the time of the Nevi'im, but especially it was given to us about 25 years ago, when the Lubavitcher Rebbe told the world that the time of the redemption has arrived, and we're already holding mamish by the Geula Shalema, and meanwhile it's taking so long, and we're getting impatient, and some people are feeling that it's time to throw in the towel and to give up and whatever, just make peace with the Gullus. So Chas V'Shalom, we have to remember that Dafka the Geula comes at the time of when it's not expected anymore, when there's a certain Yiyush, when there's a certain already a despair, and after then, just like it happened with Avram and Sarah, that Yitzchak, who is the Giyula, comes, it's a Pekida, it comes, as we said earlier, it comes at the end of time. Now, but it definitely, for sure, it will happen, and it's going to happen, Be'ezus Hashem, mamish now. Now, there is a fascinating medrash over here, explained by Chassidus, which is really, really, really by the Tzemach Tzedek. And in Parshas Noach, when it talks about Avram and Sarah, in the end of Parshas Noach, when the Torah talks about Avram and Sarah for the first time, it mentions over there that Sarai Akara, that Sarah is an Akara, she was a barren woman, Ein Lav Lad, she doesn't have a child. That's what it says. Ein Lav Lad, she doesn't have a child. So the Medrash Rabbah, in the end of Parshas Noach, on these words, that Sarah is an akara, ain love lad, she doesn't have a child. So the Medrash says that by every person, Amar Reb Levi says, every person, kol makoim, every place where it says ain la, she doesn't have, in the end, have a la. In the end, she did have. Now the Pasuk says, Lasara akara, Sarah is a barren woman, ain love lad, she doesn't have a child. So you should take a cue, you should take a sign. That whenever you're going to see in the Torah that it says about someone, ain la, ain, they don't have, ain means ayin, there isn't, she doesn't have, or whatever. In this case, she doesn't have children. It means be patient. Now she doesn't have, but in the end she did have. Okay? Like it says by Sarah, Vashem pakad Sarah. In the end, Hashem answered Sarah. So ain la, she didn't have, but in the end she did have. Another case. It says by Chana, the mother of Shmuel Anavi, it says, Ulechana ein yeladim, that Chana doesn't have children. And in the end, the Hevelah, in the end she had. As it says clearly, Kipakad Hashem as Chana. That Hashem has answered Chana. Interesting there, it also says the words Pakad. Okay, remember that. That Hashem answered her. As we said before, Pakad means someone who doesn't have a long time, and in the end they have. Here's another one. It says, Tzion, he doyresh ein la. Tzion, Zion, the Jewish people, Yerushalayim. Tzion, doyresh ein la, she has no seeker, meaning someone who's taking care of her. She's left abandoned. She doesn't have a goel. She, the Mashiach isn't here. Doyresh ein la, there's no one seeking her welfare. Everybody is, you know, laughing at her. She's written off already. There too it says, ein la. But in the end, what? The Redeemer arrives. So you would think, ain law, there's no one to look after her. In the end, the Geula will come. And the Medrash concludes, this is the meaning, Rani Akara lo yolda, that she should sing, the barren woman, lo yolda, who has not given birth, which is referring to Sarah, who was barren, and Chana, who was a barren woman, didn't have any child. And Yerushalayim, who was a barren woman, Tzion is barren. And in the end, what happens? Rani Akara lo yolda. That the Akara should sing. Lo yolda, she hasn't given birth. Simply it means the Akara who hasn't given birth should sing. But over here, the question over here is, the Pasuk seems to be implying that the Akara, the barren woman, should sing because lo yolda, because she hasn't given birth. But hold it, that's not a matter to sing. She so desperately wants children. What is the meaning that the Akara should sing because she doesn't have any children? Pitzchi Rina Vitzahali, break out in song and rejoice because you don't have any children. So the Tzemach Tzedek explains this piece masterfully. Unbelievable. He says, Bechlal, what does this mean? That by every person that it says Ein La, it means first she doesn't have, but give it some time, don't give up, in the end she's going to have. Because the Tzemach Tzedek first explains that the word Ein, which means not, also means Ein, also means yeah. Like the Gemara uses in Talmudic terminology, the word Ein also can mean in, yeah. Whoever's familiar in Talmudic language. In the Gemara, when it says in, it means yeah. So it's interesting. The word ayin means no, ein, we don't have, and in, yeah. But that's confusing. Why does the same word mean no and yeah? He gives another example to that. Chazal say, in regards to a person who dies without children, it says, Ubein Ein Loi, the idea when a man dies without children, then his wife is supposed to marry the brother of the deceased, is supposed to marry the woman. It's called Yibum. All right? He's supposed to marry his sister-in-law. But that's only if the man died and he doesn't have any children. So the Pasuk says, Ubein Ein Loi. He doesn't have a child. So Chazal say from the word Ein, they expound and they say Ayin La. That means you're supposed to look well. Maybe he doesn't have a child, but maybe he has a grandchild. Maybe he doesn't have a legitimate child, but he had an illegitimate child from an illegitimate marriage. All these cases, if he had any kind of a child, then in these cases, his wife the mitzvah of Yibum does not apply. The mitzvah of marrying this woman by the brother doesn't apply. So how do they learn it out? Because it says Ein La, and Ein means she doesn't, but also means Ayin La, look well, meaning maybe there is. So you see that the no and the is together. So that's what's happening over here. First, Sarah doesn't have any children. First, Chana doesn't have any children. First, Tzion in Yerushalayim doesn't have any children. First, they're all barren. But in the end, they start singing. Because Rani Akara lo yolda. Why? But here's an incredible depth to this. The sages tell us an interesting thing. They say, Ein mazel li Yisrael. That the Jewish people don't have any mazel. It means every nation, every person has a mazel. A mazel is related to the constellations, related to the zodiac, related to the, I forgot the word, I always forget that word. People go to search their horoscope or whatever it is that it's called. I don't really remember. In any case, so there is mazalis. And a person, and based on mazalis, you can predict your future. Can predict, you know, a person is going to be successful, not so successful, this type of person, that type of person. So you figure out all the mazalis. But Chazal say that the Jewish people don't have a mazal. Ein mazal li Yisrael. That Yidden don't have a mazal. That's a simple meaning. We don't have mazal. However, there is a deeper explanation, and Chassidus explains, not that the simple, so the simple meaning is we're not limited by any mazalis. Every nation in the world, every person has certain mazalis that kind of are, you know, they have a certain destiny and they have to follow the destiny. The Jewish people are connected directly to God. And if we're connected directly to God, so everything is possible. The exceptional is the rule. The extraordinary is the rule. We're not ruled by anything defined. Right? We're connected David to the Eibishter. So that's the play on the word. When it says, Ein mazel Yisrael, the Yidden don't have mazel, there's another way of reading it. Not that we don't have mazel, but we have to read the word Ein as Ayin. Ayin mazel Yisrael. The mazel, our mazel, is Ayin. What does Ayin mean? Ayin means that which is nothing, nothingness. What does it mean, nothingness? Nothingness over here doesn't mean the absence of energy, the absence of light, the absence of power, the absence of something. It means that which is still so infinite and absolute and that it doesn't have any definitions yet. That which is still pre-potential for anything particular. For example, we know that there are 10 spheros, there are 10 attributes. And the first of the 10 attributes is called Chachma. Chachma is the first attribute that Hashem has created, so to speak, the first design that Hashem uses to create the world is from Chachma. But what does the Pasuk say? V'hachachma me'ayin timatzei. Chachma comes from a place called ayin. What does that mean? That the what Chachma is already has already a certain definition. It's Chachma is a yud. We know that from the letters, in the letters of the aleph on the aleph base, every letter is indicative of another element, another attribute, and the like. And Chachma has also a letter that is indicative, that symbolizes Chachma. And which letter is that? That's the letter of the yud. But what is a yud? A yud is a tiny little letter, and it doesn't really have form. It's just a tiny little dot. So what is that telling you? That Chachma is still formless, doesn't really have a form, but even though it doesn't have a major form, it has already, you could describe it at least as a dot. But what precedes the dot? Before the dot, before Chachma, is ayin. You know nothing about it because it has no definitions whatsoever. It's purely infinite, and it doesn't have, it's the absoluteness of abstraction beyond any definition whatsoever. You can't say anything about it. That's the level of Keser. Keser is the crown. The crown is the level of divine that is not doesn't have any definitions yet. Ayin, that's why it's called ayin. And here is the beautiful thing. Every nation, every creature, every being is locked in a certain definition. Hashem created. Hashem created a lion to be a lion. He created a tiger to be a tiger, a monkey to be a monkey, and a butterfly to be a butterfly. And the butterfly is locked, it's fixed. It's fixed in a certain form. And they can't break out of that form. But the Jewish people are not fixed in any limited form because Ayin Mazal Yisrael, the mazel for the Jewish people is the place of miracles, the place where everything is possible because there is no definition. And that's where Yidden come from a level called Ayin that's not defined by any definitions. And that's what it says. Here's what it says. This is what the Tzemach says. It says by Sarah, Sarah Akara, Sarah is a barren woman. Ain love lad. Why does it say ain love lad? Simply, you mean she doesn't have children. Sarah is an Akara, she doesn't have any children. No, ain love lad. Her vlad, her child, which is Yitzchak, her seed, that she's going to bring down, the child, the vlad that she's going to bring, is ayin. It's not part of the created reality that has certain fixed definitions. Like Hashem created the world, and Hashem created the world with the potential for human beings to exist, with all the various 70 nations, with all the billions of humans in the world. The seed of the Jew, he's not coming from what's fixed in creation. He's coming from outside of creation. He's coming from Keser. He's coming from Ayin. She has a child, but her child is an Ayin. He's in the supernal nothingness, in the predefined existence. And that's why it was so hard for Yitzchak to be born in the world. Because to bring down from Ayin, because Ayin is so aloof, it's so abstract, it's so high, it's very hard to reach. When something is already there, and it just has to manifest from potential to actuality, it's easy to do it. But something that's not there yet, it's still in a state of nothingness. So that requires already far more time. That's why everything in Jewish experience takes so long. Why is Mashiach taking so long? Why does it take? Because it's coming from Ayin, it's coming from the infinite, it's coming from the Gilui, a revelation from that which is undefined. That's where Yitzchak is laughter, Yitzchak is Mashiach. That's why Dafke Yitzchak's neshama, which is the ultimate tzchok and laughter, is it takes so long for us. It seems like it's endless, the galus. It's not ending because it's coming from Ayin. But that's why the pasuk says Sarah Akara. Wherever it says Ayin Ein La, she doesn't have. It means the Medrash says she doesn't have now, but she will have. It's just taking a while. That's the meaning of also when it says Rani Akara. We said earlier Rani Akara. The Akara should sing the barren woman Lo Yolda, that she didn't give birth. So we asked the question, hold it, if she didn't give birth, so why should she sing? Why should she sing? She's a barren woman, she's still barren. And the answer over here is no. When the barren woman sees that she's having such a hard time having a child, that the birth is not coming easy, that itself should cause her to sing. because that's telling her that the child that she is destined to bring to the world is so deep and so high that pitzchiverane dinos, and there will be a leida, there will be a birth. But since it's being so hard to bring this being into the world, Zasimin, that where is this child emanating from? From a place of ayin, from a place of pre-existence. That's what the Medrash is concluding with the words, they call it Pitzchi Veran and Ivitzahali. That the Akara Lo Yolda. Yeah. Now this will also explain an amazing thing. Why by Yitzchak? Again, we asked the question earlier, why does it say Pakad? Vashem Pakad Esara, and it doesn't say Vashem Zohar. It says Vashem Pakad Esara, it doesn't say Vashem Zohar Esara. And the answer is that Yitzchak's neshama, and also why does it say twice? With the birth of Yitzchak, it repeats it twice. Vashem Pakad Esara, and then Vayas Hashem Esara. What's the idea? And the answer is that since Yitzchak is the revelation of Moshiach, it's the revelation, it's the infinite and boundless revelation that's going to be only when Moshiach comes. It belongs to Olam Haba, it belongs to the future world. So that's why, as we said earlier, it's almost impossible to bring Yitzchak down now. So we have, what comes out over here is as follows. That Yitzchak's emergence into the world is really in two stages. The ultimate Yitzchak, the real Yitzchak, is not going to be to reveal to the world until Mashiach comes. That's why Yitzchak is the one, his name is Yitzchak, we will laugh. Because Yitzchak's, the laughter that happened when Yitzchak was born was only a very little preview, as mentioned earlier, for the ultimate laughter. Yitzchak really is the one sage, I'm sorry, the one patriarch of our fathers that we haven't gotten to know at all. We see, we learn in the Torah, we know a lot about Avram Avinu, we read a lot about him. When we learn about Yaakov Avinu, it's like a lot, the Torah tells us a lot about him. Yitzchak remains a mystery, because Yitzchak was very hidden. Yitzchak only like flashed to creation, like he came into the world, as we're going to see in a minute why, but he came into the world just temporarily. It's interesting, he lived longer than all the other Avos, that's true. But his true essence of his neshama was never revealed. In other words, Yitzchak was born the first time when he was here. Only the external, the shell of Yitzchak came to the world. The chitzainius of Yitzchak, not the pnimius of Yitzchak. Yitzchak exists on two dimensions. The external element of Yitzchak came to the world. When Yitzchak was born. The deeper Yitzchak is only going to be revealed after Mashiach comes. And that's why it says only after Mashiach comes, we're going to say to Yitzchak, Ki Ata Avinu. Yitzchak is going to be the main one of the fathers after Mashiach comes. The Gemara says, we're going to say about Yitzchak, you're our father. Because the real Hizgalus of Yitzchak, Az Yemal Yitzchak Pinu, is only going to be when Mashiach comes. And this explains why. Because the Keser, the crown, the infinite, the Ayin, the unknown, the endlessness can't be revealed now. It's an amazing thing. Yitzchak is gematria 8 times Yudke Vavke. 26 times 8 is the gematria of Yitzchak. Yitzchak is, I think, 208 is the gematria. Yitzchak is Kuf is 100 plus 90 plus 10. Yeah, Yitzchak is 208. And 208 is 8 times Yudke Vavke. Yaakov is only 7 times Yudke Vavke. Is Yaakov, and we know that the difference between the number 7 and the number 8 is that music today, for instance, we know only has 7 notes. The harp that David HaMelech played in the Beis HaMikdash only had 7 strings, which we know is representing the revelation of nature, of God within nature. But when Mashiach comes, the harp is going to have the 8 strings, which means 8 is the number of the supernatural. 8 is the revelation we spoke earlier, of that what's called Ayin, that which we don't know, that which is not definable. That's the 8th dimension, and that's Yitzchak. That's why Yitzchak, as we mentioned earlier, Yitzchak cannot be revealed in the world today in his full light. His revelation is only going to be after Mashiach comes, when the 8th dimension is going to be revealed. That's why the Pasuk, when it speaks about the birth of Yitzchak, says it in two times. Vashem pakad asara, Hashem remembered Sarah. And then it says, Vayas Hashem l'Sarah, Hashem did for Sarah. Two times is because Yitzchak's birth into the world comes in two stages. One of his Ba'olam Hazeh, now Yitzchak as he came now, and then eventually as Yitzchak is going to come after Mashiach comes. Vashem pakad Sarah is the initial birth of Yitzchak today, the Chitzaynius of Yitzchak, and the ultimate birth of Yitzchak is Vayas Hashem, Hashem will do, Hashem is going to do, that's Yitzchak as he's going to be born after Mashiach comes. A whole different Yitzchak, the deeper side of Yitzchak. Now, that will explain why it uses the word by Yitzchak, pakad, Vashem pakad esara. Where else do we find the word pakad? Well, we are familiar by Yetzias Mitzrayim. We had, how did the Geula come? It came from the word pakad pakadati. Okay? Hashem says, I remember the Jewish people. That the Geula of Egypt came through Pekida. Hashem remembered us. So we have a connection over here. Yitzchak being born, Vashem Pakad Esara. The Geula of Mitzrayim was through Pakad Pakadati. But the Geula of Mashiach is not going to be through Pakad Pakadati. The Geula of Mashiach is going to be, the ultimate redemption is going to be through Tzemach Tzemachti. I have made the plant grow. Tzemach. Mashiach, who is called Tzemach. Samachti, I've made him grow. We're going to see about that in a moment. But what's the relationship? What's the idea? That Pakad is related to Yitzchak's birth, not Yitzchak's ultimate birth, but Yitzchak's birth, Yitzchak as he was born to Sarah then, the prelude of Yitzchak, the chitzonius of Yitzchak. And that is because, and what's the connection to that, to the Geula of Mitzrayim? Because we know that the Geula that we went out of Mitzrayim was also a Chitzaynius the Geula. It was an external Geula. It was the beginning of redemption, but it wasn't the real redemption. Just like Yitzchak's birth at the beginning was only a prelude of birth. It wasn't the real laughter. It was a temporary laughter. So too the Geula when we came out of Mitzrayim was also a temporary Geula. And it was a Chitzaynius, external Geula. Why? Even the Torah that was given to us after Yetzias Mitzrayim was the external part of the Torah, the body of the Torah, not the Pnimius HaTorah, the inner part of the Torah. The inner part of the Torah is only going to be revealed when Mashiach will come. That Geul is going to be the inside of Yitzchak, the Pnimius of Yitzchak. Now the word Pakad is related to Chitzanias. It's related to external. We asked earlier, what's the difference between, Pakad means to remember. But what's the difference between Pekida, remembering, and Zachar? We say Zachar, remembering. The difference is that Zchira, remembrance, using the word Zachar, is a remembrance that's coming from your Pnimius, from the inner Moyach HaChachma. That the inner part of your wisdom, you remember in the internal. Pekida means to remember externally. It says in an interesting idea. In Kabbalah, it says that zechira, all remembrance is in chachma. As it says, in chachma, there's no forgetting. In the attribute of chachma, because chachma is still unified with the Ein Sof, there's no forgetting. But from the pnimiyas dimension, that's why it says, when we put on tefillin, we have four parshiyas of tefillin, and we know that the four parshiyas of tefillin are connected to the four mochin, to the four levels of moach, and the first level is kadesh. Kadesh li kol b'chor. So it says that that's the moach of chachma. Kadesh li, remember, that's the side of chachma. It's the right side of the brain. And there it says, ulizikaroin b'neinecha. Remembrance, the idea of remembrance is related to kedusha, to chachma. That's where kadesh is. Pekida, the Zohar, the Arizal says, is related to the acharayim of chachma. The backside of chachma. Okay, we don't have to understand all the Kabbalah over here. I just want to give a simple idea. That remembering, zechira, is used for an internal remembrance, and pekida is used for a more external remembrance. Now, where do we see that? Here, this is related to an amazing thing. The word pakad is the same word as dofek. You take the letters pakad, pei kuv dalet, and you rearrange those letters, you get the word dofek. Koil dodi doifek. The sound of my beloved, dofek is banging. Dofek means to block. What does dofek mean? Dofek means the pulse. When you want to see if a person, how a person's life is doing, how they're, so you check them by their pulse. You can see the blood, you see the heart rate, you can feel on the pulse. Oh, but here's the thing. The pulse that you have on your arm, that's the chitzonius of your life. The pnimius of a person's life is in their heart and in their moach, in their brain. Then when the life comes out into the external part, it's, you can feel it in the and on the arm is where you feel the pulse. That's called doifek. So you say that a doifek is an external manifestation of life. Zechira is an internal element of life. Pulse is external. It's life, but it's an external life. And that's the whole depth of what's happening over here. By Yetzias Mitzrayim, by the going out of Egypt, God reveals himself to us, and he takes us out of Golus and everything. But it's a chitzainius that gets like the pulse. He's giving the Jewish people only his chitzainius, the external element of God. It's the pulse of the Lukus that's being connected to us. The internal element is not being revealed. But when Mashiach is going to come, there's going to be a revelation of what is pnimius, what is internal. The innermost of the Ein Sof is going to be revealed. Not just the chitzainius. It's not just pekid, paked on the outside. Now to understand this a little better, we mentioned earlier, so again, it's just an idea, that remember we said now that there's two elements to Yitzchak being born. Yitzchak is being born v'Hashem pakad esara, and then again v'yas Hashem. So the pekida is Yitzchak's first revelation, Yitzchak as he was revealed in this world, which is the external element of Yitzchak. That's why it's related to the word paked. Paked means the word defek. Defek means pulse. Pulse is life, but it's the external life. It's like the life is manifesting in your arms. It's not your inner, it's not your heart, it's not your soul. And then there is a deeper element of life, as life is more in a more internal state. And that's Vayas Hashem, that's the deeper Yitzchak that's going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. This will also explain the idea, Pakoit Pakadati is related to the letter Pei. Every Pei, and it says, I mentioned earlier that Chazal say a really fascinating thing. They say that when you look in the Aleph Beis, you have, we spoke about this a few times already, that when you look in the Aleph Beis, you see that there are double letters. There are a few letters that are double. The Chaf is double, the Mem is double, the Nun is double, the Pei is double, and the Tzadik is double. These are called the letters Menatzpach, Mem, Nun, Tzadik, Pei, Chaf. And it says that each of these letters are the power of redemption. That means when these letters bring redemption. Avram Avinu was redeemed from his exile through the letter Chaf, as it says, Lech Lecha, two Chafs. And it goes through every single redemption that the redeeming came. And it says, the Geula from Mitzrayim was through the letter Pei, Pakoid Pakadati, and the ultimate redemption is going to be through the letter Tzadik, in which it is Tzemach Tzamachti. So what is the idea that what's the difference between the redemption from the letter Pei or the redemption from the letter Tzadik? So we're saying now is like this. The redemption from the letter Pei is an external element of redemption, external godliness, and the letter through Tzadik is internal godliness. And it's actually connected to the idea of Pakoid and Tzemach, Tzmicha. You see, the Geula of Mitzrayim, when Hashem took us out of Egypt, it didn't come through any of our avoda. We didn't learn Torah yet. We didn't do any mitzvahs yet. Hashem was graciously redeeming the Jewish people on his own. Anything that comes from God to us without our work and without our avoda comes from the external element from Hashem. That's why it's pakait pakadati. It's coming from the pay element. We'll see in a minute why pay is external. We'll get to that. But the pay element, pakida, defek, pulse, it's external. It's not internal. However, as a result of the Jewish people for the last 1,000 years of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs through all hardship and through all difficulties. We are planting seeds. This is what we're doing. We're planting seeds of Torah and mitzvahs. And what's going to happen in the end, all those seeds are going to sprout forth in a spectacular revelation, which is going to be Tzemach Tzemachti. Mashiach himself is that plant which is going to grow out of all the labor of the Jewish people being planting during the time of Golus. Golus is a time of being stuck in the soil. We're in a time of being stuck in the earth. But all the plantings that we've done all the time is going to lead to a tremendous tzmicha. The tzmicha of Mashiach. Much higher than the pay that which was before. Now it's interesting. Yitzchak Dafk is connected to this growing, to this plant. Because Yitzchak is the light of Mashiach. That's why by it doesn't say planting by any others except for Yitzchak. It says by Yitzchak, Vayizra Yitzchak, Yitzchak planted. Because Yitzchak is related to the ultimate redemption, the redemption of the tzaddik, tzemach tzemachti, that has to do with the plant. Yitzchak is the one that's planting for the future when Yitzchak is going to be revealed, the eighth time, eight times Yudke Vavke, that we said is Yitzchak, the revelation of number eight of the infinite light that's going to be revealed after Mashiach comes. Now just one last very incredible idea, which explains why this is pay and this is tzad. Kabbalists say that the letter peh comes from the word peh. Peh, which means mouth. Peh means mouth. So peh is related to Hashem's mouth. Now, also the word peh comes from the word peh-ah. Peh-ah means the very corner. The corner. Since Hashem's mouth is the corner of the divine. It's the very end of divinity, of godliness. Sphira Samalchus is the last of all 10 spheres. It's the Peya, it's the end. Peya is spelled Pei Aleph He. Pei Aleph He is Gematria 86. 86 is the name of Elohim. Pei is the name of Elohim. It's the most external manifestation of the divine. Because Pei is related to Peah. Peah is 86. It's the most chitzainiest external of the divine. Tzadik, on the other hand, is related to... Tzadik is related to the attribute of Yesod. Yesod is already... Yesod is called Tzadik. That's why Yosef is called Tzadik. Yosef, a Tzadik, because Yosef is the attribute of Yesod. What's the difference between Peh and Yesod, Malchus and Yesod? Very simple. Malchus, the mouth, in a person, Malchus is your mouth. Through your mouth, you can communicate everything to other people, but what you're communicating through your mouth is pretty much external. Your inner essence of who you are, you can't transmit through your mouth. But in Yesod, you give your entire being. Yesod is related to the reproductive organ, which Yesod, therefore, is related to creating children. The bonding of husband and wife, of a male and female, in the creation of a child, that's a transmission of your Yesod, giving from Yesod. Now, here's a very interesting idea. A teacher can teach a student all his life, teach and teach and teach, but the teacher is not giving their essence. The teacher is not giving their brain, because the student is always limited in the student's mind. I can give you information. I can give you ideas, but I can't give you my very brain. The only way a person can convey their very essence and their very brain is when they're creating children. A child has the same brain as their father. Their father gives their pnimius amoch, but that's not given through the mouth. That's given through Yesod. Yesod tzaddik. That's the amazing difference of our redemption of Mitzrayim and the redemption when Mashiach comes. When we went out of Egypt, God betrothed us. He took us to Har Sinai and he made Kedushin. He married us, Kedushin. That's what it says. When we stood at Har Sinai, Hashem gave us the ring, which is through the Torah, and he betrothed us, but there was no intimacy. Now, when you go under the chuppah, how do you create that union? Through your mouth. You say, you speak words. Hare at mikudeshesli. You are betrothed to me. It's mouth. And that's why by Har Sinai it says, peh el peh adaber. Mouth to mouth I spoke. Hashem did kedushin. In Gemara terminology, kedushin is a lot of times called maimar. Hashem gave a speech. He revealed through his mouth. Mouth is malchus. Hashem was communicating from his mouth, but no yesod. When Mashiach will come, the union is going to be much deeper. The union is going to be, Hashem is going to give, it's going to be an intimacy, and Hashem is going to give channeling from a much innermost state of his very being to us. We're going to consummate our marriage. And then Hashem is going to reveal the essence of the Torah, Pnimius HaTorah. That's from the level of tzaddik, that's yesod, that's not peh, that's not external. And that's the difference of pakoit pakadati from the pei, and tzemach tzemachti, it's going to be a new tzmicha, a new plant, it's going to be born much far more from a level, from so much more intimate, from the essence of the divine. And it's interesting, and on that, on a union, on that level of yesod, on an intimacy, that's called asiyah, that's not called pekida, that's called asiyah, like it says in the pasuk, ki bo oilayich oisayich. The man who had Bo'elayach means he had relations with you. Oisayach, he's the one who made you. So you see the word asiya, making, is related to when there is a deeper union, a union of yesod. And that's the meaning of these, when it says over here, B'negeya to Sarah. V'Hashem pakad es Sarah. Hashem remembered Sarah. That's the Geula of Mitzrayim. That's Yitzchak's. That's the revelation of Yitzchak as we have it today. It's very external. It's not the internal element of it. It's peh el peh, it's the peh element. And then the pasuk continues, Vayas Hashem, Hashem made to Sarah. That's referring to that Hashem is giving Sarah, I mean, she's giving the world, Vayas, Hashem is giving Yitzchak, giving us a much deeper Yitzchak that's going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. The idea of Tzemach Tzemachti. The ultimate tzmicha, the birth of real godliness, of the essence of the divine, that's going to be revealed, Zerei HaTzedakos, in the coming of Mashiach. May we merit that we should see this tzmicha. And again, as even if it took so long, we realize that the fact that it took so long is the ultimate is the indication that this is going to be such laughter and such joy and such excitement and such revelation that is not shayach, it's impossible. That's the idea. May we merit to see that all now. Bez Hashem, continue next week, Thursday. A little deep chassidus today. Tzemach Tzedek was going on Hold on 1 second over here.